The subject matter tonight, if you have your Bibles, we're going to cover one verse in Proverbs and I'll cover a handful of verses in Deuteronomy. But you realize in this little series that we've had going, preaching or teaching, I should say, on the family, I'm getting now to the close toward the end. We're going to continue. We had parents to children last... I left my glasses over there. We had parents to children last Wednesday night, and we're going to finish that up, I believe, tonight. Where last Wednesday night we spoke more toward the discipline, hopefully this time we'll speak more toward teaching and training, or training and teaching, I guess. That's the order we'll go in. I'm in Proverbs chapter 22. And we're not going to look at a text verse so much. You don't have to stand. But I'm going to take one verse from Proverbs on training, and you probably already know what it is. And then I'll take a little section in Deuteronomy that speaks of teaching. And we're going to talk about training and teaching. Because we're looking again at the parents toward the children. And if you're still in your mother's and father's house, still remember this is going to be your job someday. So pay attention like you're learning your job. You're going to have children, probably. That's the way of nature. And if you do, this will be your job someday. You'll train and you'll teach. Proverbs 22 and 6 is where it says train. It says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, this is a principle that's being taught. But I just want to deal with this a little bit. Then we'll go to Deuteronomy and talk about what we teach. When it says, train up a child in the way he should go, there's a handful of words in there that make this verse make sense. One is should go. Not the way he wants to go. Not just any old way. If you were only just trying to encourage him in whichever direction he wanted to go, then there would be no need to have that word train. And we're going to talk about the word train. Basically, parents, you're making the decisions for that child. You're initiating them. That's another way of saying that. You're starting them. You're training that child in the way they should go. Now, that word train, the best way I know of to tell you or to illustrate what that word means is with a garden. How many of you have ever raised a tomato plant? And there's other plants you do the same thing with. You train that plant. And to train that plant, you bind them or restrict them to a fixed point. Now, you can tie the limbs of a tomato plant to each other. You ever done that? Just tie string around like three or four limbs? It gives them some support, but it's not really a firm support. And it won't really work that well. See, now you can do that with your children. You can tell them, just follow after what this crowd is doing. And it gives them some support, but it won't really work all that well. Because when the crowd gets blown this way and that way, they will too. To actually train them and do it properly, they have to be bound to a fixed, firm support. So again, what you're training them to is, of course, the Word of God. Does this all make sense to you? Train a child. When you train a plant, what you're doing when you bind that tomato plant to a stake, you're controlling which way it's going to grow. And so it is with a child too. You're training them. So in your methods of teaching and in what you're teaching, because we're going to go into teaching in a minute. Does anybody know the difference between teaching and training? I was in a training department for a while. You can teach somebody how something... If you're telling somebody how something operates, you're teaching them. But if you're showing them how to operate it, you're training them. Training is far more hands-on. Now, this means that you're going to have hands-on roles in your children's lives. And you're going to restrict their motion. Remember, we talked about binding a plant, training a plant. You're going to restrict what they can and cannot do, what they can and cannot say, where they can and cannot go. Now, we covered last week the disciplinary actions and so forth along that. But training has to do with you controlling which way they grow. Okay. They will have their own passions, their things that they like to do. And you're going to have judgment in this, aren't you? Are there any... You know, we use the example of a tomato plant. Are all of your tomato plants the same when you go down the road staking your tomato plants? Well, no. And none of the children are going to be the same either. You're going to have judgment. But it's going to be on you to restrict restrict the direction of the growth. Not restrict the growth. Restrict the direction of the growth. Now then, there is the principle here that they will, when they're old, they will not depart from it. You can see from the same thing when I was talking about a plant. If a plant is trained to grow in one direction from the time that it's young, it grows that way through its life. I want to turn over to Deuteronomy, and we're going to talk about teaching. Because these things are going to go hand in hand. I'm probably not going to keep you long tonight. But last week we kept we went into the more of the discipline of a child. This week again the teaching and training. In chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. Chapter 6. We see this beginning in verse 4. This is probably the best known section of the Bible for a Jewish child. It's right here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I've preached on it a couple of times, and I know you know the area. Where it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Now verse 7 to verse 9. That's what we're going to deal particularly. It says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Who does the teaching? You do. Now, don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean that there's not other people that don't help you out. You know, we take our kids to Sunday school. That's not a bad thing. When I was a kid, my Aunt Eunice would teach us all in Sunday school, a lot like you did, Sister Charity, through the years with a lot of these, like you're doing now, Sister Donna. And that's good. I mean, now we're all grown, and we still talk about what Aunt Eunice taught us. And some of these now that are grown and young men and women talk about what Aunt Charity taught us and so forth. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with Sunday school. There's nothing wrong with being taught at the church house. But the primary responsibility is yours. And that's what I'm trying to get to you. You can't pawn it off. We live in a pawn it off world where, you know, put your kids on the church bus and they'll be taught just fine and get them back home. But understand the responsibility is for you not only to take them to church, but for you to teach them at your own home. At your own home. And so what I would bring to mind is, what do you do at home that you would classify as teaching? I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just asking you, what do you do at home that you would call teaching? And that's the kind of question that you need to consider for your own home. And I'm not going to try to answer it for you. It's your home. I'm just telling you it's your responsibility. So think on that. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Diligently means that this is something you consider a very personal responsibility. Something that you know you're going to answer for. "Diligently unto thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house." So that's a big deal. I'll tell you, the easiest way to do that is talk about it around the dinner table. It's probably the one that might mean that you have to change your habits to sit around the dinner table. But it's probably the easiest way to get all your kids together at one time. Now, you might come up with a different way. That's fine. I'm not trying to make a doctrine to tell you when you do them. But it says in thy house. So you've got to find a time where you can talk to your children in your house. "When thou sittest in thy house and when thou walkest by the way." When you go downtown and you take your kids to shop for shoes or whatever it is that you're buying, all along the way you're teaching them. You're teaching them about the things that go on in the world, why you do, why you don't do these things, all the time. You say, it sounds like a constant lecture. Well, you can find a way to talk to your kids. They're your kids. I'm not going to tell you how to do that. They're your kids. You can find out a way to talk to them. But you're teaching them all the time. It says, "And when thou liest down and when thou risest up." That means sun up, sun down, all the time. You're all the time talking to and teaching your children. So it's that big a responsibility. Training, by the way, you're talking about what they do. You're directing and controlling what they do. Teaching, you're trying to help feed that mind. Remember we were talking about plants, the tomato plant? When you want that tomato plant to grow, can you just pull on it and make it grow a little more? The only way to get that thing to grow taller is to feed it and make it grow. And when I'm talking about teaching, this is what I'm talking about, feeding that child. And I don't mean trying to cram the Word of God down their throat. You know that don't work. But you're going to have to learn how to engage in conversation with your children. You're going to have to be able to talk to them somehow. You're going to have to feed them the Word of God. And you're going to have to talk about why you believe what you believe. Now, in order to talk about why you believe what you believe, you're going to have to know what you believe, aren't you? You need to be very confident about what you believe so that you can talk about these things with your children without hemming and hawing and saying, well, I don't know, the preacher said this. That's not going to work. You're going to have to teach them what you believe and why you believe it at all times. It says, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. I'm going to cover this verse, and again, I won't be too long. Y'all just stay with me. The Jews read this and they literally wrapped little scripture verses around their hands and right there around their forehead. They called them phylacteries. It don't matter what they call them, but that's what they did. They missed the point. It's not so much about having a lot of Christians do the same thing. They have a Bible in their house. They don't read it, but they have a Bible in their house. It's not so much about having the Word of God handy as it is having the Word of God on your hands and your head. You know what it's talking about? What you do and what you think about. Now, it doesn't say for you to do this to your children. It says for you to do this to you. So the way that you're going to teach and train your children has a lot to do with how you control what you do and what you think about. Because if you're thinking about what's right and if you're doing what's right, you can't help it. What you teach your children is going to be what's right. Now, does that make sense to you? It also, in the next verse, says, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Your house should be dedicated to the Lord. That means there's things in your house, there are things that should and should not come into your house. And if you don't want them in your house, that means your kids can't bring them in either. And just slamming down the law and saying you can't bring that in the house, well, as far as obedience goes, that's fine. But once you've established obedience, make sure to go back and explain why. That's a teaching moment. That's when you can go in and teach them why. But the Word of God should be written on the post of the doors of your house, so to speak. It's not talk. We don't need that literally. We need you, basically, your house is dedicated to God. And that means that everything in the house is dedicated to God. And by the way, when it says on your gates, it's talking about the whole town, the whole city. We should have a government that would be acceptable before God. Now, I know and you know we can't control everything everybody does. But our part in our community, whether it be through the government or whether it be the schools or whether it be whatever it is, should be right in God's eyes. Does that make sense to you? I've said this before. If there is a PTA around, then you go to the meetings. You know what I mean? You participate. You take care of doing those things that show that you're concerned about your kids. This teaching goes all the time. Now, verse 20, because I'm not going to try to get into the whole chapter. I'm just trying to deal with teaching and training your children. Verse 20, it brings out the point of this whole thing. It says, and when thy son asketh thee in time to come. And so it sets this out like this is going to happen. If you live right, and if you constantly try to teach your kids what's right, this is what's going to happen. When thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Sooner or later, they're going to ask, why do we make such a big deal out of the Bible when nobody else does? Sooner or later, they're going to ask you that, right? Sooner or later, they're going to ask you, why do we go to church three times a week and none of my friends go at all? Does that sound about right? Familiar? He says, then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. You know what he's talking about? That's your salvation story. That's when you tell your kids about the day the Lord saved you. And you need to tell them that. Your kids ought to know how you got saved. They ought to know when you got saved. They ought to know what this thing about salvation means because they've heard their mother and father talk about it. You hear me? And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And He brought us out from thence that He might bring us in. You understand that? He saved me from being a sinner so that He might make me His. It's talking about deliverance from that old life. And so you're testifying not only the day you got saved, but of how God changed you and changed your whole life. So your testimony should be what you're aiming for. You're waiting for that moment when your kids ask you these things so that you can tell them, so you can talk to them and explain to them this thing of salvation. The whole point of this thing is that these children that God has given you, you're trying to raise them for Him. And that's what God commands. The teaching and the training both go to that end, their salvation. And it says, and the Lord commanded us to do these statutes to fear the Lord our God and for our good always. You catch that? For our good. So not only are you testifying of what God did for you, but you're testifying of who He is. I'm about to close it out pretty soon. But let me just bring this by you. There's not a Christian parent out there anywhere that doesn't desire their kids to be saved. That's the big goal. And the Bible's trying to tell you how to get to that goal. It says train them. And it says teach them. It says in your teaching, they're going to come to you eventually and ask. Tell them about when you got saved. Tell them about salvation. You know, we believe there's a time when a child comes to an age where they are no longer considered an innocent child, but they're accountable. And we often call it the age of accountability. Now, I believe that age is different for different people. If you can find me something that locks it down to one age, you show me. I haven't found it. I believe it's different for different ones. But try to prepare that child against that day. So that day that the Spirit of the Lord comes by, that day that God bothers them in their conscience and calls them, that they'll know what to do. Try to teach them that God's Word is good and that the reason we do these things is because we believe in God and we fear God. And one day, you're going to feel the Lord draw you. And when you do, make up your mind that you're going to go. Now, don't fake nothing before. But whenever God comes by and touches your heart, you follow Him. You see, you're teaching that. The whole point of this teaching and training is not to create little robots, but it's to prepare that child to go after God. And again, that's the whole desire of every Christian parent anyhow. And so, this is what I wanted to get to first before we got to discipline, but that's not the way the Lord had it. And I'm going to close out parents to children really tonight. It's a short night, and that's okay. You can get a short night now and again. Next week, we'll probably talk about children to parents. But I'm not just talking about 10-year-old children. I'm talking about all of us and honoring our mother and father. And we'll cover that, and after that, we'll be done with the doctrines of the family. And then we'll probably have a couple of weeks break, and we'll go into the doctrines of the church. We'll close it out tonight with prayer. It is wet out there. Y'all be careful. Brother Don, would you close us out with prayer, sir?